So Richard Raposa, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Oh, happy to do it.
Can you lay out the threat of this storm? What's happening right now? What's the update?
Right now, the storm continues to approach the islands. It's moving very slowly. It's moving about 7 miles an hour, which creates a situation where it could take a very long time to cross the islands, which would bring a lot of not only rain and wind, but the possibility of a severe storm surge and high surf that could bring damage to the coastline. Also, because of the topography of the islands, the valleys tend to accelerate winds as they pass between the mountains, and that could cause a lot more damage from those winds. What we're looking at now is still the potential for Honolulu in particular to take a direct hit, but National Weather Service does say that the storm does appear to be moving a little to the west, which might spare us a direct hit, and we would just take a hit from the edges of the storm.
And what's the difference between a Category 4 versus a Category 5? Can you walk us through that?
Right now, we're a Category 4. It's bumped up to a Category 5. In reality, that difference is a difference of 5 miles an hour in wind speed. Realistically, it doesn't make very much of a difference. It's still talking about very, very high winds. But once you get past the Category 3, it's a severe winds and the potential for very, very serious damage.
And what are people doing to prepare?
We're seeing a lot of people are laying in the provisions that they should be. We recommend 2 weeks of non-perishable food as well as water. People are preparing around their homes, making sure that they don't have loose furniture and things that could become projectiles in the high winds. Some people are boarding up their windows. The state and the counties have released their workers, and schools have been closed to allow people to prepare for it. Hawaii has a history of near misses with hurricanes, and so early on, people tend to poo-poo an approaching hurricane, but it's gotten more serious, so people are getting a lot more serious about preparing for it. Now, for the state, county, and also for FEMA, we're pre-positioning assets that will allow us to respond to damage, whether it's clearing debris off the roads or repairing infrastructure. So we're preparing for that possibility already.
And how long would it take to bounce back from this after the storm hits?
You know, it depends. It depends on the level of damage. In 1992, the island of Kauai was hit by a major hurricane, Hurricane Iniki, and it took a long time for them to recover. In particular, there was a lot of damage to electrical and communications infrastructure. A lot of homes were damaged and destroyed. So it can take a long time. We have the benefit of having military support, National Guard and the Air National Guard to help us. So we hope that we would bounce back quickly, but we do face the reality of potential serious damage to our infrastructure. You know, we have electrical transmission lines that are above ground that could take a major hit, including transmission lines that cross our mountains to carry electricity from one side of the island to the other. And, you know, those could be seriously damaged.
And do you see this being similar to what happened in Puerto Rico in terms of the devastation that happened on that island?
There are some similarities. One similarity is our distance from help. We're a very isolated landmass, and so it takes quite a bit of time to bring supplies in, and we are dependent on crossing the ocean to bring us most of our goods. Our infrastructure is more robust than Puerto Rico. It's just stronger. We've put more into it, so we think that we would recover faster. That was part of the problem is, for example, Puerto Rico does not have a robust a water delivery system. We're more advanced in that. So we think that our recovery would be faster. One big difference is for Puerto Rico, they could get goods into their ports, but they couldn't move anything out of the ports and deliver them. We will have a lot more trouble getting goods into our ports if the port is damaged.
And what are the lessons learned from past hurricanes that people are implementing now?
People have learned to prepare. I mean, one thing is, don't assume it's going to pass us by. It also, we have learned a lot more about pre-positioning assets in order to respond to the impact more quickly once it's over. And there have also been lessons. For example, on the island of Kauai in 1992, a lot of telephone poles were knocked down, and they were cut up to move them out of the way. Well, they learned that it's difficult to get more poles, and so that actually slowed down their recovery. It seemed like it would speed it up, but it actually slowed it down. So we've learned some important lessons about the best ways to respond to recover more quickly.
And what about moving forward? What's being done to make Hawaii better equipped to handle a hurricane like this in the future?
We continually look at things like improving our infrastructure and also things like making sure we have adequate shelter space. One change that we've made recently is to encourage people to strengthen their homes so they can shelter in place. So we've also looked at potential changes to building codes to require safe rooms in homes or to ensure that homes are strengthened against storms so that more people can shelter in place. Building codes and building practices have changed since the 1990s, so homes that are newer are stronger, but we can still do more of that to ensure that people can be safe in their own homes instead of relying on evacuating to shelters.
And are people evacuating?
Some of them do, and in some cases it's the right thing to do. For example, if people live in an inundation zone where they face the possibility of a flood, they should evacuate, whether they evacuate to a shelter or to a home of a friend or family. They should get out of their homes because it's safer. And also, if their homes are older and may not stand up to high winds, they need to consider what is safest for them. And we encourage that. We encourage everybody to assess their own situation and take the best action to ensure their safety and to, we say, contribute to your own recovery. There's no one answer for everybody, and we're glad that people are taking it seriously.
And what support does Hawaii need in terms of from the mainland?
There are a few things. One is, for example, FEMA. We got a presidential declaration yesterday of an emergency, and so that allows FEMA to pre-position assets, things like equipment to repair electrical infrastructure and things like that. Then that's the kind of thing we look for. Also, in a situation like this, we would look for other types of support from the mainland, whether it's medical personnel or experts in various areas. And that's the kind of thing that happens all over the country. Whenever there's an emergency, other states, other jurisdictions all contribute. And we'll be glad to have that support if it's necessary.
And is there anything that citizens can do to support?
One thing that people should keep in mind is there's normally a lot of an outpouring of support from others, and we appreciate that, but we also ask people to make sure that they're working through recognized nonprofit organizations, and they're doing, and whether it's for us or for any emergency across the country or around the world, make sure that you're working with a reliable agency, and making sure that they're providing what's actually needed, whether it's money or supplies. Try to make sure that you're doing what the best that can be done for the people who are in need. We're glad that people are paying attention. That people are worried for us. We're doing the best we can, and we think that we're going to come through this okay.
Well, Richard Raposa, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
All right, thank you.